The young man was 16 years old. I had been friends with his father for longer than the boy had been alive. The father told me they sat down one evening as a family to have dinner. He said my son had learned a joke that day, and he actually told the joke at the dinner table. He told me, he said, it was just another day. It was just a day. After dinner, the boy got up and went into his bedroom for about 15 or 20 minutes. He left his bedroom and he went out into the garage. And he was in the garage for a long time. But his father told me, we thought absolutely nothing about it. We thought he's looking for something, or he's making something. But as a result of what happened in that garage, I tried to imagine what was going through that young man's mind. That his thoughts and his problems were just raging through his mind. For some reason, he just couldn't fix it. He couldn't figure it all out. I suppose that the young man was afraid, scared, and confused. But at some point, that 16-year-old in the garage pointed a gun at his head. Maybe he took a deep breath. Maybe he closed his eyes real tight. But that boy pulled that trigger and took his own life. A few days later, I gave the eulogy at that boy's funeral. And what I can tell you for certain is that that father, that mother, and that family have never gotten over what happened to their boy and their family that day. The subject this morning is difficult, but the subject this morning is needful. This morning I'm talking about utter hopelessness. This morning I'm talking about total and complete despair. This morning, I am addressing the subject of suicide. And I want you to understand that the statistics are horrifying. But I want to make clear that this lesson isn't about statistics and numbers. But I have to share a couple of numbers with you just so that we can understand the gravity of what's going on. According to the World Health Organization, in the United States, somebody commits suicide about every 11 minutes. On a global level, for every suicidal death, there are more than 20 attempts that fail. In the United States of America, the third leading cause of death among teenagers is suicide. In the state of Michigan, The suicide rate has risen 46.1% in the last 20 years. But again, I want you to understand, listen, this here today, what I'm here for, this is not about numbers. This is not about statistics or shock value. This is about people. This is about people who sit in pews. This is about people who are part of our family. This is about people whom we love. And this is about maybe someone here who will hear this lesson right now, or who will hear this lesson when it goes out on the net to the whole world. Listen to me. Some of you here know someone who has committed suicide. Some of you here know someone today who is struggling greatly. Some of you here today, you may be having thoughts that you've never said out loud. I've been in church all of my life. I have never heard a sermon on suicide. I've never delivered a sermon on, I've never heard a sermon on suicide. But here's how this lesson is going to unfold. First of all, we're going to take a look at four biblical truths. Four biblical truths. And then we're going to turn from there and we're going to take a look at two facts about God. There are two things about God that none of us should ever, ever forget. Then we're going to go to close. And in the closing, I'm going to address some very, very specific people who are here. First of all, I want us to begin this by taking a look at four biblical truths. The first truth we want to look at is this. And that is that God is close to the brokenhearted. God is close to the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34 and in verse 18, written by David, David clearly says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." Look at the verse. The verse does not say that God is close to the strong and the powerful. Look at the verse. The verse does not say that God is close to those who've got their act all together. The verse doesn't say that God is close to those who've got life figured out and it's all just smooth to them. What the verse says is that God is close to the brokenhearted. There are people who love God who feel their life has been crushed. There are people who deeply love God, who feel that life is just not been fair to them. They love the Lord, but they just don't think it's all what it ought to be. If that's you,
and you don't feel that life has been fair, and you feel that life is crushed you, and you feel that you're down and can't get up, understand this. You may feel that way, but you don't feel that way because God has stepped back from you. Because the opposite is true. If you feel that way, God has drawn closer to you. When life puts you on the ground, you don't have to scream to get God's attention. Just whisper, because he's close to you. God is close to the brokenhearted. Biblical truth number two. Listen carefully. Hopelessness is a lie. Hopelessness is a lie. Suicidal thoughts will often focus on permanence. What does that mean? Here's what that means. It means that people get in a mindset that my life is a mess and it's never going to get better. My life is in pieces, and what my life is now is what my life is always going to be. My world has come apart, and it's not ever going to change. Listen, that's not right. That's not right. That's not correct. In John chapter 10 and in verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. Are you listening? The life that Jesus offers is a life of hope. The life that Jesus offers, this abundant life, it is a life where God will sustain us even when we are suffering. The abundant life isn't the absence of pain. It's the presence of the divine shepherd who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want you to look at this with me. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and take a look at this with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are hard pressed on every side. Brethren, listen to me. That's true. We are hard pressed in suffering. We are hard pressed with stress. We are hard pressed with disappointment. We are hard pressed on every side. But look what he says. We're not crushed. And the reason we're not crushed is that God will always give us a way to endure. Verse 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are perplexed. We have unanswered questions. We're confused. Well, I don't understand why this happened to my mother. I don't understand why this has happened to my family. I don't understand why I'm having to go through this. We are perplexed. That's true. But look what he says. We are not in despair. The reason we are not in despair is because faith will always find a way. Look what he says. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We're persecuted. That is, we're often rejected in life. Well, we don't want you around us anymore. You can't be part of us anymore. We don't want you now. We want you to go away now. You may be abandoned by people, but you'll never be abandoned by God. Your friends may put you aside. God will never put you aside. God is close to the brokenhearted. Hopelessness is a lie. Hopelessness cries out, things are never going to change. But God said, this is not the end. Amen. Biblical truth number three. Your life is sacred even when it feels empty. Now, I want you to hear this real good. Your worth in the eyes of God does not disappear because you're depressed. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, in the creation, God said, let us being the Godhead, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible says that God created man in his own likeness and in his own image. The only thing in creation that God ever made in his own likeness is you. And in Psalm 139, David talks about that creation of you and I. David said, when we were in the lower parts of the earth, that is, when we were in our mother's womb, and we had not developed in that wound, David said that God saw you as you were and that God saw you whole. And David says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your life is sacred. You were created in the image of God. Your life is sacred. And understand, your life is sacred on the worst day of your life. So in Job 3, you know what Job said? I wish I had never been born. Listen, when you make a statement like that out loud, you're about as low down as you're going to get. Life had turned on Job, and we know all about Job's suffering. And so Job finally says, listen, I wish I had never been born. But God said to Job, no, you are righteous.
just because you feel worthless does not mean you are worthless. Biblical truth number four, Jesus understands. Here is how normally suicidal thoughts run. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands how much this hurts me. They go to people. No, this is what I'm going through. And many times they're put off. But they say, listen, nobody's ever had to go through what I've had to go through. And they're hurting and they're in pain and they think nobody understands. Listen, Jesus understands. Let me show you to the degree how much Jesus understands. On the last night of his life, in Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place where he would often go to pray. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus utters the prayer. In verse 38 of Matthew 26, Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed even to the point of death." His humanity is crying out. In that garden, Jesus three times falls face down dirt in Gethsemane's garden and begs the Father, "If there's another way, let's do this." Because the most vile death ever devised in the wicked imagination of man was crucifixion. And that's what Jesus was facing. And now the pressure of the sins of the whole world, all of mankind, is upon him. He's overwhelmed to the point of death. Listen, Jesus understands. Here's how bad it got in the garden. In Luke's account of it, in Luke 22:44, it says that in the garden that Jesus was in anguish. He was in anguish to the point that sweat became as great drops of blood. That is a very rare medical condition. And it's got a name about that long. It is a rare condition that when people who become so overwhelmed by anxiety, when people become so overwhelmed by stress and by life, that it puts such pressure on them that the capillaries actually will burst and the sweat will become blood. Listen, don't tell me Jesus doesn't understand your pain. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4, Jesus is our high priest. But listen to what he said. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, "We do not have a high priest that cannot identify with our suffering and with our pain." But Jesus was tempted and Jesus suffered as all of us, but yet was without sin. Nobody else may understand what you're going through, but Jesus understands what you're going through. And part of the reason that Jesus came to this earth in the form of a human was to identify with you and me. And now, having ascended back to the Father, on the right hand of the Father, Jesus now pleads his case for us to the Father. Why? Because he's been here, he can identify with us. God is close to the brokenhearted. And the rest of that verse says, and those who are crushed in spirit. Brethren, listen. Hopelessness is a lie. Hopelessness is a lie. With God, you and God are the majority in any battle. Life is sacred, even when it feels empty. And Jesus understands. We're now going to turn from this, and I want to share with you two great facts about God. Here are two things about God don't you ever, ever forget. Number one, God will forgive you. In Romans chapter 4 and in verse 8, Paul said, blessed is the one whose sins the Lord will not never count against him. God will forgive you. Say, but you don't know, God will forgive you. Remember the Apostle Paul? Before he was Paul, he was Saul, an enemy of Christianity. Saul killed Christians. Paul would later write, I am the chief among, no sinner is greater than I am. But God forgave Paul. Rahab was a prostitute. But you go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about the great heroes of the faith. And Moses is there and Abraham is there and all of the greats are there. And listed there in that chapter is Rahab. God forgave Rahab. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes to the city of Sychar, and he's there at Jacob's well. And a Samaritan woman comes to him, and Jesus begins to talk to her about her life. And Jesus finally says to her, listen, woman, go home and get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, that's right. He says, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. But when that woman left Jesus, she went into town and brought that whole town out there. Jesus forgave her. On the day of Pentecost, the Jewish world was gathered in the city of Jerusalem. Peter was looking eye to eye to the Jewish world, and in that crowd were those who had cried out for the blood of Jesus. And Peter told them in verse 23 of Acts 2, he said, with wicked hands you crucified and killed the Son of God. And when they cried out, now, okay, what should we do? Peter told them what to do, and those who did it, God forgave them. Preacher, are you saying that God will forgive all my sin? Yes. Preacher, are you saying that God will just blot all of it out forever? Yes. God will forgive you.
Your past is not something you need to beat yourself up with about. Your past is something that you need to bring to God. God will forgive you. The second great fact about God is this: God will help you. God will help you. In Romans 8 and in verse 31, if God be for us, Paul said, who can stand against us? Listen, what more encouragement do you need? You are never, ever gonna be beyond the reach of Jesus not understanding. And by fleeing to him, he will help you. Now, for the next few moments, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Suicide is a real problem in this country. And there are some people that I want to address. First, parents. Dad, mom, grandparents, communicate with your children. Talk to your children and your grandchildren. Listen to me. Find out what's going on in their lives. Find out who's going on in their lives. Who are they with? What are they doing? Listen to me. Are they being bullied at school or in the neighborhood? Depending on the child, many of them will hold that in to the last second. Are they being bullied? Are they bullying someone? Communicate. Talk to them. Well, they go in their bedroom or whatever room and they shut the door. Listen, who are they talking to on the phone? Who are they on the tablet with? You say, but they gotta have some privacy. And that's exactly right. They gotta have some privacy. But bless God, if you're the one paying for the house and not them, you can go in any room you want to. I bought this room. And in another 27 years, it'll be mine. Parents, grandparents, find out what's going on. Find out what's going on and find out who's going on. Let me address another group here. Listen to me. Your problems, your struggles can only overtake you if you let them. It's a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to allow what's happening in your life to overwhelm you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." If life has wore you out, if your suffering has wore you out, if the world has wore you out, if the devil has wore you out, the great invitation of Jesus says, come and I'll give you rest. Let me address one more group here. There are many Christians who are committing spiritual suicide. Because you are killing off the things in your life that are meant to spiritually sustain you. Prayer. Bible study. Assembling with the saints each Sunday. When we cut those things off, when we kill those things in our lives, those things were meant to spiritually sustain us, and when we kill them, we're committing spiritual suicide. Nothing was broken in the home. Nothing had been burned. The house was still standing. Everything was exactly the way it always had been, except there is an empty chair at the table. No one dared move that chair for a long time. Birthdays would come and birthdays would go. Holidays came and holidays left. One member of the family said, it's not just that they left us, but they took a part of us with them. You start replaying conversations in your head. Did we miss something? And then guilt moves in and stays. Because guilt tells you, well, you must have missed something. Understand this. Suicide does not in pain. It moves it. Instead of one heart that's hurt, now there are many hearts that are hurt. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life. That life is a life you can hold on to. That life is a life that lasts. And I want everybody in here and everybody who will ever, ever hear this sermon to hear this. Your family needs you. Even when it doesn't seem that they do. If you need to respond, God help you to do it right now as together.